We sang just a few minutes ago, Bow the Knee, and in that song that we sang, on that first verse, we came to where we said, I remember who He is and bow the knee. I think we need to more and more think about what we're doing when we pray. And what I mean by that is we too often rush into the throne room when we pray. And I would like to encourage you when you pray to think about to whom you are praying. When I, as we sang, I remember who He is and bow the knee. I feel like we don't have enough reverence when we pray. And we see some of that in what I wanted to look at this afternoon, Matthew chapter 6, because Jesus is teaching His disciples lessons on giving, lessons on praying, lessons on fasting. But I want us to look at His lessons on praying, as you'll find. It actually goes from verses 5 to 15 of chapter 6, but I just want us to look this afternoon at verses 5 through 8. For the context, we'll read the first verses. It says in verse 1, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, that's your charitable giving, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Then in verses 5 and 6, as Jesus teaches on prayer, he teaches on the place of prayer. He says in verse 5, and when thou prayest, and then he says, now here's how not to pray. Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily say I say unto you, they have their reward. So in verse 5, we see that there are those, these hypocrites, who like a prominent place to pray. They like to be seen praying. These Jewish men would stand on the street corners, the wide streets, and they would pray what is called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, our God is one God. And they were so legalistic about that ritual that if they forgot to say one word correctly, if they omitted a word, they would start all over again and repeat the whole thing. It was just a matter of, okay, let's say, forgot a word, let's go back. Got to start all over again when they would say their prayer. Some of them even carried the prayer in a little box strapped to their foreheads. They were anxious to be known among others as somebody who prays. They wanted a reputation as a man of prayer. I must therefore be seen praying. That's what Jesus is addressing here. Their action. They would stand on the corners of the streets and in the synagogues. Their attitude, hypocrites. The word hypocrite is where we get the word play actor. It was just an act. It was not genuine. What's their motive? That they may be seen of men. That's their whole motive. They want to be seen praying. They're not thinking about when they pray, I'm going before the God of the universe. They're thinking, oh, I'm going before these people. They're watching me. And so their whole motive is that they might be seen of men. Notice their reward. When they pray to be seen of men, Jesus very simply says, they have their reward. So what is it? They were seen. They were seen. You've got it. That's it. In other words, they have received in full what they were looking for. So there's the place of prayer, and they liked it to be prominent, but Jesus teaches that it needs to be private in verse 6. But thou, you my disciples, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. This is as opposed to being on the street corner where everybody can see you. And when thou hast shut thy door. So it's not only that you go into your closet. You know, the guy who's looking for people to see him would kind of leave it open in a crack, hoping somebody might notice that it's open in a crack and they'll see him praying. Shut the door. Pray to thy Father which is in secret. This is the one who is truly going to the prayer room to commune with God. And Jesus later on says, now, when you pray, here's how you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. That makes me understand where I am and where he is. It reminds me. It also reminds me that hallowed be thy name. Your name is holy. It also reminds me that his agenda is more important than mine. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then the requests. So go to this room that is in secret, a closet, which is a hidden secret room. It's not even known as a prayer room. It's like you taking a tour of somebody taking a tour of your house saying, now this is my prayer room. Note the detail. Not just that it's in a secret room, but you shut the door. Shut the door. Private. Well, then you might be going, well, finally, here's a verse that absolves me from having to pray before I eat my meal in my restaurant, because that's a public thing. That's not the idea here. It has to do with motive, that you pray to be seen of men. That's your whole motive for doing it. Or some would say, well, this absolves me from ever praying in public. Pastor, don't ever call on me to pray in public because the Bible says I'm supposed to go into my prayer room and pray in secret. Once again, it's motive. Let me mention this to you. When a man is asked to lead in prayer publicly, you should do just that. Lead. That's why we call it lead in prayer. Speak up so people can hear what you're saying. And people have said, well, God can hear me. Yeah, he can, but I can't. And if I'm to say amen to what you're praying, I need to hear what you're saying so that I can say, yes, Lord, so be it. Amen. Verily, truly. So the recognition here is secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret. And then it says, shall reward thee openly. That seems to indicate that God is therefore going to let everybody know about it openly. That's not the idea here. The idea here is this, that God who alone sees you will pay you back and you will know it. You will know it. So there's the place of prayer. And then I close with verses 7 and 8, the perversion of prayer. Now Jesus gets into what you pray, not just the place, but now what you're going to pray. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Now it's not the hypocrites, it's the heathen. For they think that they shall be heard for what? They're much speaking. They're long praying. They're literally many words. So Jesus here presents the heathen or the Gentiles as an example of what not to do. And apparently this is what the heathen generally do. Is they speak a lot, they pray a lot, they say a lot of things in their prayer. You know what? You can tell a lot about a religion by how that religion's adherents pray. You can tell a lot about a man by how he or she prays or woman prays. You can tell a lot about people by how they pray. Their perverted manner here portrays God to be, verse 7, without reason. He's an unreasonable God. Okay, just pray a lot and then I'll hear you. That's exactly what Jesus says God does not do. So they have invented a God who is unreasonable in that they think that they must ask with many words before he will answer. And use not vain repetitions. It's an interesting word because it's used only here in the Bible, in the New Testament, that phrase, vain repetitions. It literally means do not babble. What is it to babble in prayer? Well, when you think of babbling, what do you think of? What kind of a person do you think of when you, and you can respond out loud. What do you think of when you hear think of somebody babbling? A baby. A baby may be sitting there or lying there or standing there just. And you go, oh, how cute. But I have no idea what you're saying. Justice will say some things and it's cute. And last week he was saying something out there by the doors and I called for the interpreter, his mom, to come. And he was pointing outside and he was pointing up in the clouds and I said, what's he saying? I don't know. He's just babbling. Folks, that's sometimes how we pray. We think that God's going to understand us for our much talking, our much babbling. And somehow we're going to impress God with it. He doesn't look down and say, oh, that's cute. He looks down and says, that's wrong. You're treating me like an unreasonable God. We would do well to listen to ourselves pray if we would expect God to listen to us pray. Have you ever stopped to listen to yourself when you pray? You say, well, I'm not supposed to. I know, but does a preacher ever listen to himself preach? I do. It's embarrassing. But I'll travel somewhere and I'll download one of my sermons. And boy, I need to make sure next time I don't do that. I need to do this. And I correct myself. You need to listen to yourself pray. Do you repeat words or phrases mindlessly? Do you repeat words? This is the one that I've had the hardest time with all through my life, and I've worked on it, is saying the word Lord repeatedly. Or sometimes we start our prayer with the same mindless words, just to kind of get the introduction out of the way. Who do you think we're talking to? Sometimes we do that to give us time to think of what else we're going to say. Don't you realize that God knows what you're doing? Here's an example of somebody repeating the name of the Lord mindfully. Here's his prayer. He cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Three times in just those short sentences, he repeated the word Lord. But he did so mindfully. Now, if you need to be reminded as to who you're praying to by repeating the word Lord, then so be it. But too often, it's a filler. And that filler does not impress God. He's the one who says, do not use empty, vain repetition. Stop it. Who do you think I am? They think they're going to be heard for their much speaking. Remember how the prophets of Baal prayed? From morning until evening, saying, O Baal, hear us. O Baal, hear us. O Baal. Isn't that getting tiring already? Haven't even said it the third time, and it's already like, oh, shut up. Oh, Baal, hear us. And yet, that's what that vain repetition is. Elijah even mocked them. It says, what's wrong? Doesn't he understand you? And that's sometimes how we pray. And sometimes I wonder if onlookers don't go, what do you think, that your God does not understand you? That you keep repeating mindlessly the same thing in your prayer all the time? I've read where Buddhists will put a written prayer on a wheel. And on that wheel, they'll put a crank, and they'll crank that, and they say that every revolution, as that prayer, as that wheel comes up, that prayer ascends up into heaven. That this is what the heathen do. It's mindlessly, it's vain, it's repetitious. Roman Catholicism teaches that it is devout to repeat many times, Hail Mary, whatever else they say. As if God's going to be impressed. Sometimes we pray the Lord's Prayer mindlessly and repetitively. So sometimes we think that our God is unreasonable by the way we pray. So these heathen, their perverted manner of praying portrays their God to be unreasonable. And lastly, verse 8, as one without understanding, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Unlike the God of Baal, our God knows what we need. Not just when you ask, but here it is. But before you even ask. And your natural response to that is, if he knows, why do I have to ask? Right? Well, the fact that God knows doesn't mean we shouldn't ask. Because we know that we're not praying to give God information that he's never had before. We pray to express our own desire, our need, and our dependence upon him. And he wants us to depend upon him. God's foreknowledge is no more an objection to our praying than to his acting. And Jesus says right there in verse 8, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Then he gets into the pattern prayer. After this manner, therefore pray ye our Father. Because we are indeed his children. And so when we pray, it's like a child going to his father. You know, typically a father is not unaware of a child's need, especially if it's a really young child. He's not surprised by our request. So let me just challenge you this afternoon that when you pray, you do so realizing that God is reasonable. And he's understanding. He's my father. I'm his child. And he's very interested in hearing me pray what he already knows. For both Jew and Gentile, Ephesians 2:18 says, for through him, Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And we know that no man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. And so we understandingly close our prayer. And I would encourage you to think this when you, even as you're praying. In Jesus' name, I pray. Not as a formula, but as what Jesus himself said, pray to the Father in my name. Let's pray.